This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is what struck me, and I wonder how we could, you and I, can kind of compare and contrast this. Because we did the show together, and then off we all head through the parking lot of Levi's Stadium. You went to the press box.
Yep.
I ended up in some seats, and therefore that made you drier than me. But what struck me is the vibe of this fan base right now. It really struck me. I have now been in the stands twice this year and listened to Brandon Ayuk get sort of kind of booed, and listened last night to Deebo Samuel sort of kind of get booed. And I also listened to Kyle Shanahan essentially get heckled for the entire night after every single play call.
By one guy behind you.
No, it was multiple. There was one who was excessive.
Okay.
And sir, if you're listening, you're not that funny. It's not that funny to cuss on every single sentence at the top of your lungs. I'm not a prude. My kids weren't there. It's fine. You're not that funny. Anyway, he probably should have been on What's Bugging You. But I don't want to spend too much time on that. Kyle Shanahan is getting heckled on the regular, and on a night when the 49ers score 6 points, I completely get it. I totally get it. I think we need to be open to all comments and all thoughts and everything on a day like today. But I really would love if we can collectively take the temperature of this fan base, because I am struck by where we find ourselves. This is a very angry place right now. This is a very, that's, for me, that's the only way that I can put it into words. I am so bummed. I don't get angry at sports teams. That's not the word I would use. If you do, that's great. That's fine. But I'm just so bummed, because this experience I had sort of at least marked down with Ballpoint Inc., that something was going to, something fun, something special, potentially, was on the schedule this year.
Yeah, and something fun has happened, but not when you've needed it to happen. And you look at the last five games, and they've lost four of those games. And you could look at every game individually. Seattle, well, Geno Smith drove down and beat you. Well, that's not supposed to happen. In Green Bay, you had a backup quarterback, fine. You go to Buffalo and it's a blizzard. Okay, it was a scheduled loss anyway. They were coming off a bye. You beat Chicago, big whoop. And then you come out and you play the Rams and you get Greenlaw back and you get Bosa back. And your defense is pretty damn nasty for the majority of the game. And I know that the Rams did have a couple of long drives in the second half, and the defense was kind of worn down, and Drake Greenlaw wasn't there, and Devondre Campbell had decided he didn't want to play football anymore, and you had Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, who was already injured, and he had to go out there and play, And so, yeah, the defense stood up. The defense was great almost all night long.
Sure.
And yet you scored 6 points. And you talk about the fans. And the one thing that struck me even before Debo got booed is when that game kicked off, it was about 65% full. And I don't know where your seats were, but I was up in the press box and looking across at the sunny side, which turned out to be the rainy side by the second quarter. And the majority of that upper deck was kind of empty, which told me that a lot of fans were either turned off by the weather or turned off by the fact that this team is 6-7. So
probably a lot of both.
Even though fans were the ones who did show up, and shout out the faithful who were there and they stayed till the end, those fans who showed up, and you have every right to boo whoever you want to boo. You're a paying customer. I get that. But what I saw from the crowd was general disinterest even going in.
Well,
the crowd, the thing was not even close to sold out.
Yeah, it's hard for me to put a finger on that, because I'll give you this example. The United Club last night.
Oh, look at you.
Chest to chest.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time. So
a lot of people who were out in the crowd,
yes,
they chose to be in the club.
They chose to be inside
that.
Because it was raining. And it rained
for about a quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it was light rain in the first quarter. The second quarter was
it was
pretty intense. And I don't mean intense other than like if
no,
you're
it rained
just,
hard. Yeah,
if you're a sitting duck, if you're just in a chair sitting in it, it was incredibly wet. And so I do think that a lot of fans made that choice, and that's fine. I get that. I'll also say that even inside some of those clubs and underneath overhangs, it was not like the group was intensely screaming at television sets. Totally locked into the game. It might have been much more locked in on, big Bud Light or whatever else they may have had in their right or left hand. You know what I mean? You're not wrong with what you're saying. So I don't know where everybody's belief was. And sure, they were already in a bad spot before this game started. But I remember the last thing I said to you before we left for the game last night. I'm so excited to see what this feels like if they can win tonight and really put together a late season charge. And for Kyle Shanahan, who's got a reputation of late season runs, sparkly November and December record, for him to come out there last night and have this be the product where we all thought season on the brink, and what the fans were delivered in that moment were two things. 6 points, and one of your players who basically flipped you off and left is stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And it was a boring game, very hard to watch. And I really think if there is one thing that Kyle Shanahan needs to review, so many people want everybody in these situations to review themselves, right? And I think that's fair. If Kyle wants to review himself, he's got to look at that. He has got to look at the effectiveness of his team in the second half when it calls for points. You can't just get your 10-point lead in the first half every time and then pound people into submission and win the game. It's been very effective. You've been very good. I'll be the first one, obviously, always have been, to point that out. I don't want Kyle fired. I don't want we don't need to go there. But I think there's a fair conversation to happen about whether or not in 2024, with all rules set for quarterbacks and passing game, if you can be effective when you're down by 3 in the fourth quarter, it usually feels like you're down by 10.
I can honestly say they're not built for this.
Yeah, and what it feels like.
It's the way it is. And look at the two different offenses and look at what Kyle does throughout the entirety of the game, and all you have to do is look at their formations, and it's bunch formations, it's everyone tight to the line of scrimmage, and they try to do everything off of that. And then you look at the Rams on their 17 play drive where they took the lead and they slowly but surely went down the field. Everything is spread out wide. They're either going empty or they're going 11 personnel with the tight end and the one running back and the three wide receivers. A lot of times they went to four wide receivers and they spread the defense out and they let the quarterback go out there and make plays and make choices and kind of pick the defense apart. And that's not what Shanahan does schematically as an offense.
What's the emotion you're feeling?
like, is is frustration an emotion?
Sure, absolutely.
That is, the biggest emotion is frustration.
Okay.
And it's not just about one thing. I'm frustrated by Shanahan and his play calling. And you go back to the first half where it's 3rd and 6, and you are across the 50, and you go to 21 personnel with Deebo Samuel as your running back, 3rd and 6, and you give him the ball. You run the ball on 3rd and 6, and he goes nowhere, and now you're going to go ahead and kick a long field goal. Moody made it, great, but that is not a very aggressive play. The fact that he continues to try to run Deebo Samuel as a running back is a failed scenario. It continues to fail. When was the last time Deebo as a running back broke off a big run? I'd have to go back through all my notes
probably last year.
But it doesn't work. And so he continues to try to do the same thing over and over and over again.
Did you feel like, because I heard this from a lot of people, did you feel like they were force-feeding Deebo Samuel, especially early in the game?
I don't feel that way. And our show thread had that as an idea. And Grandy and Lucas both thought that. And I watched the game again this morning. And the first play from scrimmage was a play action. They went to Deebo. It was incomplete.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, on that 3rd and 6, they brought Deebo in as a running back, and they handed it to him, and he got 2 yards, and it didn't work. I don't think that they, quote, force-fed him, but my issue and the frustration was more with Brock Purdy, where there were a lot of plays that weren't designed for certain players, but he went there anyway. He was forcing balls unnecessarily when the check down was available.
Well, I think when a quarterback starts forcing things, we could psychoanalyze, but I would argue, I've always likened it to the way that I play Madden. When you're force feeding it is in some way baked in fear. Like, in other words, if you're not trusting, and he did not have a clean pocket last night. If you're not trusting that you're going to have time to go through your progressions, then I think you're vulnerable to sort of make a decision early about where you're going to go with the ball. And that's when you force something. And I saw that especially with his deep throws last night. The one to Jennings is just, woo, that's mind-boggling. That's mind-boggling lack of awareness to throw that football. He was never open.
Right.
He was never open for a moment, and you were in field goal range while down by 3. That's the drive that Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy rarely pull off. And the truth of the matter is, they were pulling it off. They were in the process. They had converted a few third downs. Ricky Pearsall was allowed to touch the ball. It was crazy.
Once.
They were moving the ball. And that throw is exactly, I would argue, what Brock Purdy has made his reputation for not doing.
Exactly.
And it ended their season. That's just wild to me. So I think that, like, let's play with this for a little while. Niner fans, what are you feeling? I was so struck by the vibe in the stands last night. I was very, very struck by it. And that's the best. It's not a great word. It's the only one I can come up with. I'm just so bummed. I'm so bummed that this is the season we got.